Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. I don't know where you at. I hope you're here with me. And I could see you, so you are, in the name of Jesus. I want to give thanks to the Lord. First, I want to give thanks to the Lord for you. Because you are a great asset to his kingdom. You are one of the greatest asset to his kingdom. Boy, nobody said amen. I guess you're not an asset to his kingdom. Come on, church. Amen. You are one of the greatest asset to God's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give thanks to God that words cannot even explain my gratitude. I could just keep on thanking God for so much things that he have already done in my life. But mostly, recently, right now, it's you. He had blessed this church called Miracle of Faith with a remnant. And that's you. You know, I'm grateful to God yesterday for the success that he gave to us with our little fundraising towards the church. And to each and every one that participated, you know, perhaps you buy food, that was excellent. Because if you didn't buy, then we would have not got the funds. Amen? We could have cooked 2 ton, Pastor, but if we didn't have sale, you know, so thank you for purchasing the food. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, I know Pastor Pascasio did a wonderful job in cooking it for you, so I know you enjoyed it. Amen? Thank you. Thank the Lord for that. Amen? And to everybody that assisted, just not the one that bought it, but, you know, there was a lot of love that was bestowed in that. And I thank God for each and every one of us that know how to distribute love. Before I go into the message, I want to ask you a very little kinky question. Yeah, because you might think that it's bad, it's good, because you know, Pastor, I always bring the word of God for you. But you might say, I wonder if Pastor is tricking me or is it? Are you living by love or are you living for love? Just a little nugget I want to drop in your spirit for this harvest. Which one? You want to answer, fine. If you don't want, don't, you know. Are you living by love or are you living for love? I think I heard by. Can I get any for? I don't think no for. One for? Okay. That's okay. It's not controversial. It's just really, really what it is. But when you get the answer, you will understand, no. See, if you live for love and somebody don't love you, you're in trouble. But I hope you love yourself. But loving yourself is not for. Loving yourself is love. Because you love yourself. But for, you have to listen to how I put the word. Are you living for love or are you living by love? That's why I said you would have been a little shaky here. But that's okay. That doesn't make you no difference. It just all it is a stepping stone. By the time I get through with this message, you will be awakened and say, yes. You can't live for love because whenever you don't get it, you're in trouble. Amen? If you are seeking someone to love you, you're in trouble. Because when a person don't love you, you're in trouble. But if you are living by love, you understand that it has already been supplied. You say, Pastor, you got to break it down. Well, you know, by the grace of God, I will. As we celebrate this time, harvest, God had in mind a greater harvest. When the Israelite And the Hebrew people and everybody in the ancient time celebrated their harvest. It was a very joyous time. It was a very time of happiness and singing and praising. And in between that was between mid-March to mid-May. They harvest barley and wheat. There was a very, very, very celebrative time in the Palestine area. In fall, which we are in right now, they celebrated harvest also, but that's the harvest of the fruits. Amen? Very symbolic to what we're doing right now, but God had a better thing in mind. God had a harvest of souls. Amen? So because if you live for love, it's like living in the Old Testament. Say, Pastor, why? Because the Old Testament demands. If you live for love, you're always demanding love. Because you really don't understand even what love is. Something that you demand. Amen? Watch it and get it, please. Because God did not show me this and give it to me just to give it to me. He gave it to us. That's why I'm sharing it with you. If you live by love, we live in the New Testament, where Jesus came. The Old Testament demands. The New Testament supply. The Old Testament is the law. The New Testament is grace. Hallelujah. Somebody got it. I heard that. Amen. The Old Testament demands, which is the law. The law demands. It says, do this, do that, do the other, do the. And if you don't do it, they have an attitude too. Amen. So the Old Testament demands. The New Testament, which Jesus brought, he brought grace. So grace supply. And that's why you live by love. Woo, hallelujah. I hope somebody get that revelation here. So you don't have to worry if pastor don't love you. You know who love you, right? Who love you? Jesus love you. Because he's the one who supply everything for you. Sister Brenda had like kind of pinch in my message a while ago when she says Christ and his finished work. See, whatever you don't have, it's not because it is. I'm going to keep on saying it, and I will forever say it as long as God put breath in my mouth. Whatever you have is not what God has already not established. What you have is because you don't know how to receive it from the spirit realm. And if you don't have it in the spirit realm, it's because you're walking by the flesh. You're a Christian, but you're a fleshly Christian. We need to get out the spirit, out the flesh, and get into the spirit. I'm going to show you a couple of things right now before I go into the text that I use, which is from Romans 8, which here it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, the only thing condemn you is your guilt. If you're guilty, I know you've been condemned. Why? Because you feel bad, because your conscience is eating on you. Now, I'm not making you guilty. All I'm making you is aware why you're guilty or why you feel convicted from the things. Because that's what the Word of God is going to show us. Amen? I read a passage in Noah because I want you to see that harvest time, God have already spoke that out his mouth. And because he have already spoke that out his mouth, that have to happen. That there will be harvest, there will be seed time, and there will be sowing time, and there will be harvesting time. So there is no doubt that if you sow, that you ain't going to have a harvest. It's a guarantee, church, that if you are a sower, you are also a reaper. Amen? And I don't know what you're sowing, but the things where it pertains to God, See, God does not look at one thing. You see, we brought our little fruits. And some may have brought their money. And some may, I don't see no blood. Right? And you could say, well, Cain and Abel, one brought blood, and God accepted the blood, and Abel brought the fruits, but he did not. But that's not what God is looking on. God is not looking on what you brought. And so I want you to get this straight, very, very straight. God is looking at your heart. And he's looking at your attitude. Did you brought it with a good attitude? Or you brought it because you heard pastor saying that you must give? Because if you brought it just because a pastor, you're not going to get your blessing. If you bring it because you have a good attitude towards God, your giving has been blessed. Amen? That's the word of God. I'm not trying to add nor subtract. I'm just letting you know. Amen? So let me show you a couple of scripture here before I go into the text. I'm going to go into the text. I'm not going to keep you too long because we have already been here a little bit because of all the wonderful things that have already happened in the church. Are you been blessed? See, our children came up. See, the choir came up. See, our adults came up. God has been good to us, church. God has been good to us. There is so many ways I know personally for myself, and I could see it within your being, that God has been blessing you. You are a blessed. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of his scornful, but his delight is in the law, is in the word of God, which he meditated both day and night. That's why I'm so concerned in telling you, church, read your word. Amen? Your word is very, very important. I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. So are you living for love or are you living by love? I only heard two, so the rest are living for. Are you living for love or are you living by love? So we get that straight now, right? You know how we're supposed to live by. And why we could live by love is because love has already been an inheritance for the children of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, you could say for because you surely are living for love. Okay, you can't wait for somebody to tell you something nice and you think they love you, but you know it's just something nice. Amen. Let me leave that alone as that's not my message. Chapter 10 in the book of Luke says, after these things, the Lord appointed out other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Wow. If I should ask that you should raise your hand if you're a child of the living God, if you had made Jesus the Lord of your life, have he sent you? Are you just not ready? Watch what the scripture is saying right here, church. Very deep. Because if you have given your life to him, he have sent you. And he may have only sent you or he have sent you too. You know, I like that Thanksgiving. The brother came up and says, and I thank God for my wife. Hallelujah. I also, too, am a giant and thank God for my wife. And I'm going to also speak for Pastor Pascasio too, because he always been talking about his wife. So we know he loves his wife. Hallelujah. Amen. But watch what he says here. I'm going to read it again because, see, the things about the scripture sometimes is we read it and we hurry, read it and don't. But the scripture is we got to allow the Spirit of God because as I go into Romans, you're going to see the life by the Spirit. Because this series here is still tied in into the series that I've been preaching about the power of prayer. Amen. Before I read the next verse, I want us to pray. Because I have a question after I finish. I want us to pray. If you want to stand, it's okay. If you want to keep sitting, whatever way you want to honor God right now, I want you to sincerely go before God in this time of harvest, in this time of Thanksgiving. And it is very beautiful, and I can't even explain this day that God has given to us. And go before him in prayer. Father, I come before you, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that you enlighten the minds, our heart. That, Father God, your will be done in our life. I decree and I declare your majestic and your sovereign power that we are that which you have created us. And we have that which you have already dispersed unto us. And we can do those things which you have called us to do, for you have already given us authority, dominion, and power. Father God, I thank you for your spirit that is in the midst of your children, and he's stirring us right now, God. He's even placing boldness within us, God, that we can come to your throne of grace and find the things that we need to find to be successful. Father, we thank you. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor, Lord. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, God. As you make us receptive, as you give us wisdom, you give us understanding, you make us like sponge, Lord, that we will observe your word and then take it to our last and dying world. Father, we are all grateful. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Did you pray? Amen. Amen. If God should have answered your prayer right now, instantly, who would God bless? You heard my prayer, right? I didn't hear yours. But you heard who I prayed for too and how I prayed. I'm talking about your prayer. If God would have answered your prayer right now, instantly, which is not that he's not going to do it, no, don't get me. I'm not trying to confuse you, no. I just want you to get something relative to how to pray. If God would answer your prayer right now, who would be blessed? Would it be your brother? Would it be your sister? Or would it only be you? Well, the church get very silent. Did I say something bad? Just watch what you pray, church, and watch what I said just now. And figure out what went wrong. Who would have got blessed? Only you. That's not bad, but it's not good either. Because you know something? God already knows what you need. You know why the world is not a better place? Because many of us don't pray for the world. We pray for me, myself, and I. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that bad. That's not bad. But if you read the chapter I preached on last week, which is Ephesians 1, that's why I give you that chapter, and that's why I preach on that chapter, because that chapter showed you how we should pray. Remember I told you if you were going to be praying for me, how I want you to pray that type of prayer? That's okay. I'm not going to go into that because that's a series. This is a series. But you could hear it again because perhaps you might say, Pastor, I might not have get the whole thing. Then go back to the message. I know Sister Brenda have already put it most likely. Right, sis? You got it already on the website? The one last week that I preached. Amen. Sister going to put it up if you want to go. But it is in reality. Remember when I start these messages, I already done the third message. This is the fourth. The first message I told you, your mind is usually backed up by your activities. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever your mind is on, is most of the time what you're going to do. That's why you got to get your mind right. That's why Romans 12 says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. But be conformed not to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if you think folly, you're automatically going to do folly. But if your thinking is Christ-like, automatically going to do Christ things. Then the second part, and I went and I explained to you where I showed you in John 17 through the end, that there are three things that we could prevent if we are praying. Let me just go quick them. So I didn't want to go there, but the Spirit is leading me to do it. It's prevent. One who prays will prevent many of the things that you'd walk in if you weren't a prayer. Second, provide. You will have a whole bunch of provision that God will provide for you if you are a prayer warrior. And you know what is the next one? It's produce. You know why many of us are not productive in the kingdom? Because we don't know for prayer. We're only praying for me, myself, and I. I'm going to leave that alone. But you understand what I'm saying, church? I know this one, what I'm saying is, you're praying. But how are you praying? Are you praying for love? Or are you praying by love? Because when you pray for love, that's when the me, myself, and I come in. Me. Yeah, bless me and encourage. God bless me and host. Bless me and handsome husband. Bless me and keep on blessing me and keep on blessing me. But when Jesus came, Jesus didn't say, God, he went to the cross and he says, it's not even my will, Father. He said, let your will be done. And that's how we're supposed to be praying, that God's will is supposed to be done in somebody else's life. Because if you have already given yours to his, he got you. And before I end, I'm going to show you why he got you. Because we could go to Romans a little farther down, but I'm not going there. I still need to get to the next part of this text, but I wanted to put that in your spirit so you understand. Verse 2 says, therefore said he unto them, he already sent you, you know. He already sent you, amen, because that's what happened just now in verse 1. He said he sent them out two by two. He said, therefore, he says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. I ask myself this. I go to work every day. I'm a hardworking person. Aren't you a hardworking person? Don't you go to work every day if you have a job? But that's for you. That's for the world. That's not for the kingdom. And you know when you became a born-again believer, you know you are the kingdom? You might not want to believe that, so I'm going to leave you. Because you didn't even said amen. Church, when you became born again, you were a part of God's kingdom. God came and gave you his kingdom. He said he has given you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loose. What is stopping you from having what belongs to you? Hallelujah. Let me leave that. Glory to God. Woo. He said, but the laborers are few. He says, what he said in the next scripture in the verse there? What did he say? What he said, church? Come on, please help me. Amen. He says, prayer. Ye, therefore. Prayer. So you know something? That's the key to unlock many of our dilemmas. Many of us don't have what we're supposed to have because we don't know how to pray for it. That's why. That's what the word says too. He says, and when we pray many times, we pray amiss. Hallelujah. He says that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. See, we pray, God, give me this. God, give me that. Church, I'm saying it's not wrong. It's not bad. But here the word of God is teaching us how to get this thing done. He's going to get it done by you and I. But you have to pray to God to send laborers into the harvest. If you literally don't want, if you that lazy that you don't want to be a part of the kingdom, then he says you pray that he sends somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave that. Woo. He said, go your way. Behold, I sent you forth as lambs among wolves. He's telling you very clearly, church, that this is not no going to be bunch of roses like many of us think. Because this world we live in is a sinful world. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the victory. That just means that you have to be a little bit more astute. That just means that you got to know the word of God. Because you can't go with anybody's word and get along. Remember those guys that said, Paul, I know. Peter, I know. He said, but who are you? And he whipped them. Many of us, you know what happened? We've been getting whipped. Church, I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't want to accept it, and if you're not getting whipped, you know something? There's victory imminent before you. And it's not only for you. You could literally stand and believe and receive victory for your loved ones, your brothers. He says, even your enemies, say, pray for your enemy. Which one of us had prayed for our enemy this morning? Hallelujah. Let's go to, I got another text for you. I'm going to leave that text. Let's go to John. I'm going to break in a little bit more into it for you. This thing all boils down to prayer, church. Prayer is the keys to the kingdom. If you don't have prayer, you ain't got no power. But if you got prayer, if you are a prayer warrior, you got some power. Because he said he have given you the keys to the kingdom. You are kingdom citizen. You are kingdom bound. I'm going to start from 34. John 4, 34. He said, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Here comes Sister Brenda verse. He came to finish. So he's not going to come back and redo nothing because everything was accomplished. If you're waiting, you're waiting for the wrong Christ. Amen? He's already done what he has to do. And if you listen good there, you understand what his meat is. Not wrong with good food, but that's not supposed to be our only desire. Amen? Verse 35 said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. How many of us really, really are lifting up our eyes? Because if you are lifting up your eyes, you are seeing. And if you are seeing, you need to get busy. Are you busy for the Lord? The Spirit Spirit of God is saying, my children just need to be agitated. You know, you put your little clothes in the washer, and you know that washer go like that, and it go like that, and it go, and go all different direction, right? And then when your little clothes come out, it really clean. Look nice, right? Even smell good, it just depends on where you put in it. Some of us as Christians, we need to be agitated sometimes. We need to be shaken a little bit so we could wake up and understand that things we'll be waiting on, it's in vain waiting. You say, Pastor, why? Because it's already here. It's here, church. It belongs to you and I. Don't stop wait. That's what the scripture is saying right there. We saying, hold on. Miss Sister, I can't talk to she this week, but I'm going to talk to her next week. Make I leave that car. You get where I'm going. I'm sure you got what I'm saying here. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Look at your brother and your sister. If you've been serving for a couple of years and your brother and your sister has not made that decision, just know and look at them and think the problem is in them. Church, please, because I want to turn this around. Sometimes we got to look within ourselves and find out why we are not a witness to them. Because we're supposed to be small Christ. But if you are not too Christy, then maybe that's why they might be Christless. It's just the word, church. I'm just giving you the word. Amen. I'm just here to stir you. I'm just here to not really make you uncomfortable. I'm just here for you to see what is even better for both of us, you and I. We could make this place a better place. But are you praying? Are you still in that just me? Leave that alone. Hallelujah. Verse 36 says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. That's the reason why we go to work, right? Because we like to see that paycheck. I go seriously to church. Sometimes I get up 3 o'clock. I got to go to Santa Barbara in the morning, and I got to get up 3 o'clock to get there for 6 o'clock. And I get up because I like to see a decent paycheck. Hallelujah. I knew I should have got more amen, but that's okay. God is saying the same way you like to see a good paycheck, God is saying the same way he likes to see souls won. And the only person that those going to be won by is by me and you. You know, the word of God says, he said, when one soul give their life to the Lord, he says, up there, rejoice. He said, up there and have a party. How many of us like have party? And we throw party for anything. We throw party for anything, you know. But Jesus said, when one give his life, he says, there is rejoicing in heaven. Imagine how you make God, God, hallelujah. Imagine how you make God feel about you when you witness to one person and then give their life to Jesus. You know, I think I may ask you that too. That's okay. He says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Remember I had spoken to you concerning when you die, what you will have, what you will take. Many of us don't understand, well, I know where I'm going. But no, you could know where you're going Because the Bible declared to us clear. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then I ask you, you know what you will take? No, you don't know what you will take. Church, the only thing you will have with you is those you witness to, the redeemed, and the word of God. You say, Pastor, I never believe that, or I never see it, or I don't know that. Well, then watch it. Watch it for yourself. He says, hallelujah. He said, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You think I don't love to see you smile? I better. Because if you will spend eternity with me, I have no choice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we must learn to rejoice right from here, church. That's why we need to have a good attitude every time. That's why we need to love one another, because we are not living for love. We are living by love. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to the text and just grab a couple of scriptures out of it. But before I go to Romans, I want to do first, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Church, we need to pray. Thank you, sister. You know I needed this. You see what he said here? Since he said, finally, brethren, pray for us. You know, if you're very careful, you know, dear, he didn't say pray for yourself. I'll leave that. I can sink myself. Let's go to Romans 8. Take a couple more scriptures out here. Then take you to one more. In fact, no, I'm at the same chapter where I want. Hallelujah. Verse 1 says, therefore, being just... I'm chapter 5, sorry. It is very beautiful how we've been justified. We've been justified by faith through grace. Chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, God give us the weapon of prayer. But you just can't pray, church, and think it's going to happen. You need to know how to pray. This first verse here is telling you that therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So you know what that is telling me? That is telling me that I legally bonded with the things of God. Because the world could call me anything you want to call me, but I'm going to go by what Christ has already called me. And he called me his beloved. You say, Pastor, I understand. I could pray. And God come true for me, you know, Pastor. Some of us said that. And God come true for me. And that is immaculate. That's beautiful. That's excellent. Because the more God come for you and the more you trust in God, the more your faith going to grow. And the more your faith grow, the more you trust God. Because it's all about trusting God, saints. It's all about trusting God. The more you trust God, it's like the more you're saying, God, I know that you are real. Let me go down and break it down a little bit more for you. I want to go all the way to verse 14. Because I want to show you who you are. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You are not just anybody in this kingdom. You are the son of the Most High God. See, when you could establish where you are, it's easy so you could go up the next step. But if you don't know where you are, you're not even sure if you can make the next step. But if you understand this verse, watch this verse, what he's saying. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I know it sounds like I kind of go only one side because I didn't mention woman of God. But it was a word term used that means male and female. Amen? So don't be felt left out, ladies. Amen? He said, for he have not received the spirit of bondage upon to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, my kids, they call me daddy. My kids, they call me papi. My kids, they got their own little name they call me because they have a intimate love with me. Not intimacy that you think about, which is sexual. Because the first thing when you say intimate, then think, amen? But that is where many of us are even wrong in the scripture. Because God wants to have an intimate relationship with you and I so that the intimacy could work out not only to you, but to somebody else. That's why you don't live for love. You live by love. You live by what God has already established. He said before even the foundation of this world, he have already established that which he knew we were going to be here. And he knew that you was going to have this word. Now he's saying, what will this word fall on? Will it fall on good soil? And it will germinate and then bring blade and a stalk, then fruit? Or it will fall on stony ground? Figure that out again. I like give you everything because for some reason that's what been dropping in my spirit. Sometimes the Lord says, let them think a little bit too. You know, we need to all think. And sometimes we mind, that's why I brought out that part by your mind, because too much time we get to our mind, you wave here and wave there. We not give we undivided attention to God. We give Lee attention to God. And God, he says, what I have done for you, I don't want part-time love. Mm-mm, let me leave that alone. Verse 16 says, the spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Remember, I took you last week to 1 Corinthians, I think it is 2:13, where I talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, whenever you became a believer, God's Spirit had came within you because the Bible teaches us that the Father draw, Jesus saves, and the Spirit seals. So if the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit are one, then the only way the Father is going to draw you is by the same Spirit. And the only way the Father going to save you is by the same Son. Then it has been, you've been drawn by the Spirit of God, God, Father, and Son. And Spirit. We got to get it straight, church. Many times we think that when we got saved, we have to wait. And I have to believe that God, you have already believed for salvation. If you believe for salvation, you are in the plan. Don't exclude yourself or wait, because the longer you wait, the longer you're not going to have not get what belongs to your church. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. That's one of the greatest victory of the saints. Because the same spirit that quickened Jesus' spirit and brought him from death to life, and he went and he sit at the right hand of the Father, is the same spirit that will quicken my mortal body and make it immortal. Hallelujah. I could just keep on. You keep on reading it, church. I want to take you this because I know time is going. I want to go to verse 26. As many of us need to know how to pray. Prayer is our weapon to get what we deserve to have. Verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Church, all it is telling us is when you surrender to God, the Father and the Son, you don't have to worry about your prayer. All you're going to do, you're going to allow them. And how you going to allow them if you don't make yourself available to them? It's very easy, church. Who are you making yourself available to? And what are you making yourself available to? Watch this. I'm reading the scripture again. This is one of the, this is one of your key, this is a key right here to your victory, church. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Why our infirmities? Because know that within our being that we are weak, we are fragile. You know that if we look too long upon something, it might change our stature, because next thing we think we deceit, and some next time we think we know deceit, and sooner or later we deceive something and we're not even sure what we deceive. So this body, and God, Jesus Christ, understand that this body is fragile. He said, no, he understand our infirmities. And that's why sometimes, that's why we got to understand the word. Because then when we could understand the word, then we could get that which belongs to us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is what God is wanting from us. You could use the word infirmities also as weakness. I don't know where you're weak in. I don't know where your weakness is at. But God understands your weakness. Hallelujah. He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we are to. Please not say, Pastor said, I don't know how to pray. Amen? The word of God is saying that to you. Then he got a reason why he's saying that. The word of God has a reason why he's saying that to you and I. It's because he wants to take you from point A to point B so you could be more productive for the kingdom. But watch what he says. He said, what you should pray for we, as we are to. He said, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Church, that's a heavy scripture right there. You want to be a prayer warrior? Let me see if I should ask you and raise your hand. Let me see who want to be a prayer warrior in this church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Amen. Well, you just get your key. You just get your answer. And for those that might thinking about it, it's still your answer. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. The Bible says we don't know where we are to pray for. Why? Because within ourselves. That's why if you go way back to the scripture and you go way over here, where it talks about the flesh. Verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. And if you go back one more scripture down to verse 5, it says, for they are that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, they the things of the spirit. So as long as you are a Christian, but you're a fleshly Christian, you can't please God. That's the word tell you that just now. Amen? Let me show you what Paul is saying as I close. Because you might say, Pastor, I'm not sure I got this thing. But let me give it to you. Same chapter, to verse 37. Then I close. Amen? And I hope you enjoy your harvest. And remember, this harvest is just a symbol, just like the law. The law is passed. Sister Brenda would say, we have a better or a new covenant, which is grace, which is supply. You have already got everything supplied to you. Read the word. Verse 37 says, Paul says, speaking, Apostle Paul speaking to the Romans, he says, nay. He said, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give him praise and glory in the house of God. Thank you, Lord. You heard all those wonderful things that pertains to you. But if you are not a born-again believer, it does not belong to you. These are for God's children. He said, he have given you the power to become the sons of God. And you might be sitting under the sound of my voice. And you say, Pastor, I want that. But you can have it. But you have to make him the Lord of your life. I'm giving you an invitation if you have never made him the Lord of your life. And it is like, and not elects in a nutshell, church. He came, he died, he arose, he's sitting at the right hand interceding on our behalf, and he's coming back. Amen? So if you have never given your life, we'll be more than happy to lead you to Christ, saying the sinner prayer, and you could start your new journey. Because this land is not our home. We only pass into, we only pilgrims. But if you make it your home, sadly saying, I'll just tell you, dear, that neither death, he said, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. I'm thankful and grateful. Words can't even explain my gratitude toward you for your undivided attention. And I hope that something that was said that will germinate. Amen. But I want to say one more time to you. You are not living for love. You are living by love. And that love comes straight from the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Spirit. Amen? Give him praise and glory, Pastor.